Today is actually the feast of one of my favorite saints, St. John Bosco. And I've been talking about how we're going to start. I was actually going to start yesterday because the feast is this weekend. But we're going to start doing a holy hour of adoration in front of the state capitol every Saturday at noon. And we're going to, I actually got two pillars. I was going to bring them over and show you today, but I'll show you at some point. But they're really cool pillars. You know, they're just made out of that resin, but they look awesome. One is a little higher than the other, and that's part of St. John Bosco's dream, where he saw the host, the Eucharist, on the higher one, and an image of Our Lady of Help of Christians on the other, which that's the image that we have up in the Rosary Garden on the mound where the little waterfall is, at least during the warm weather the waterfall is going on. But Our Lady of Help of Christians, I actually have a statue of that on order. So that's not here yet. And I wanted to get more volunteers, and we really should try to work on getting a canopy. And so we're setting it now for the first Sunday in Lent is when we're going to start doing these. And indefinitely, I don't know, whatever the Lord has in mind, but every Saturday at noon we'll be doing that holy hour of Eucharistic adoration. And we're going to use those two cool pillars, and it's awesome. But what was John Bosco's dream about? Real quick, just to paraphrase a little bit, he dreamed that there was this flagship, as he called it, and the Holy Father was on top of that, and it was being attacked from all sides. And interesting, if you read about the dream, it's not just like guns and spears and things that they were attacking with, but he also talked about with writings and books that it was being attacked by, which is interesting. And then there were other little ships following the flagship. And but what they knew they had to do, they saw the two columns, the host on the larger one, Our Lady of Help of Christians on the shorter one, and they had to get up into between them and moor themselves to it. And once they did that, okay, and then the other ships that followed, they did that as well. All those ships that were attacking began to scatter, and they were crashing into each other and even fighting with each other. But it was seen that these two pillars or columns are meant to be what brings the, and the storm calm too. There was a storm that was raging at the time, and the attack ceased. But the dream was meant to show that if we cling to the Holy Eucharist and our Blessed Mother, that's a power that we're given that keeps the devil at bay, all right? So it's a really powerful image. And we've been promoting that, haven't we? We've been looking into all the ways. Just recently, this year, we started adding another hour of adoration after every daily Mass. So when Mass is over, we expose the Blessed Sacrament. I actually climb into the confessional every day after I expose the Blessed Sacrament just to check and see if anybody wants to go to confession. But we're there in an hour of adoration, a holy hour of adoration, concluded with benediction. But this is something, too, that Archbishop Fulton Sheen was just dedicated to. He would get speaking engagements, and he'd look ahead and calculate which church might be available near where he was going to give the speaking engagement. He made a vow that he would never go a day without those holy hours. And that's really where he says he got all of his inspiration in his writing and his speeches and everything. So why is that holy hour so important? You know, the other thing we're heading toward in 2 days is the Feast of the Presentation. And that's the feast too where I say that it was in 1998, I was on my sabbatical studying in Rome, 10-year anniversary of my priesthood, and I got an invitation to my first papal mass. And it happened to be on the Feast of the Presentation, February 2nd, 1998. And I thought, this is awesome. That's pretty cool. But it was more than that, I found out. We were in St. Peter's Basilica. It was amazing that way. And, you know, incense and sacred music filled the air. And then this beautiful procession, I call it like a military honor guard, came in. And just a great attention to reverence and sacredness. And all of this just, I felt like I was like paralyzed in awe of what was going on around me. And in that moment, I felt like I broke through to a greater understanding about what we're called to be and do as Catholics in our faith. And I said, you know, this led me into what I believe is a more profound experience of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I would later come to my favorite Pope, Pope Gregory the Great, who has many great writings, but I was led to one particular writing, and I've shared this with you before, but in the context we're talking about right now, I want to share it to you, with you once again. In one of his homilies, he said this, through fear of the Lord, we rise to piety. From piety, then to knowledge. From knowledge, we derive strength. From strength, counsel. With counsel, we move toward understanding, and with intelligence, toward wisdom. And thus, by the sevenfold grace of the Holy Spirit, there opens to us, at the end of the ascent, the entrance to the life of heaven. So what he did is he ordered the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He said, this one leads to this one, then that these two, now that you have those, lead to this one, and then so on and so forth. And he's one of the greatest popes that ever lived, maybe the greatest, Pope St. Gregory the Great. And so you take him at his word, you know, that they're somehow ordered. So my logical mind said, okay, if that's true, then to get to any of the gifts, you got to go through number one, which is fear of the Lord. That's what I feel I received the most profound way ever on February 2nd, 1998, where I was just caught up in awe. And then everything changed in that moment. Right? You see, fear of the Lord led to piety, right? Well, piety is just, you know, offering due reverence unto God. And then it went from there on. You see here, it moved to understanding and with intelligence toward wisdom. Okay, there was a greater hunger for me to get to know God more. I want to know everything about you. And I always say, too, that the problem with catechesis in the last few decades is not so much bad catechism as it is no desire for catechism. Okay? There isn't this pounding heart hunger for catechism. You think of someone who's found their major and looking toward their profession in their lives, that you're gobbling up everything they can get because they're excited, they're enthused about what they're studying, right? That's the way it is when we get that gift of fear of the Lord. And fear of the Lord just simply means, I'm in awe of you. I'm afraid of offending you because you're so amazing. Okay, you're just in that realm now. I say it's the gateway gift. We're into the upper room now, and where Jesus breathes on us and we receive all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we've broken through. We're not just treating them as, you know, someone that... That I always say we keep at arm's length, a manageable distance. No, we're in relationship with him. And he's so awesome. My every word that I speak, my every decision that I make, everything is to try to please him. Okay, not because I'm afraid he's going to beat me up if I don't, because he's so amazing. And that's all I want to do is please him. And so we need to get to that gift. And I believe more than any other time, maybe in the history of our church, we need that right now. Because what has the devil done? He's taken away that gift of awe and wonder, right? Stripped out churches, turned the Mass into some kind of sing-songy folk music thingy, where we hold hands. You know, where's the awe and wonder in that? It's a nice little social, nice gathering, like all other gatherings might be. But are we caught up in awe? We need to return to that. And I do believe that we're being called to get inspired to want more sacred celebrations that begins with all of us doing more adoration. I've said before, 80% of every conversion story I've heard in my 33 years of priesthood are people who found themselves before the Blessed Sacrament in adoration. That changed everything. It was like my February 2nd, 1998 experience for them. They had the same thing happen to them. Then a friend called me the other day. He says, I've heard you say this before about conversions. Get this. A study just came out. Vocations to the priesthood. They found 80% of vocations came from adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. I mean, it's amazing. This is what we're called to do in this time. And I think especially right now, I've been saying that what's coming at us, it's like we're under a bombing attack. And so I think what you do is the first thing you do when the bombs are coming, you get in the bunker, okay? And for a period of time, you got to wait for the bombing to stop. I think that's the period we're in right now. It's unbelievable how much the devil is on the attack right now. We're talking about the canceling of everything. And what's going on, and it's in our spiritual leaders, it's everywhere, is not fear of the Lord, it's fear of the devil. Okay, we don't want to upset the devil right now, it seems what's going on. And so those who stand opposed to God, all right, right now, this is my perception, they're winning. Okay, they won't ultimately win, but they're winning right now. Because we're afraid, we're not of fear of the Lord, we're fear of the devil right now. And so a lot of what's going on is we're appeasing the devil, you know? And so those who are under attack, today we saw in this gospel reading, we saw that Jesus, first of all, they are caught up in awe of his words. And then, if that's not enough, he just expelled a demon right in front of them. Prior to this, yesterday, you know, he was asleep in the stern of the boat, and all of a sudden he said, be quiet, be still. And the whole sea calmed at his word. Okay, these people are sitting there like, whoa, awe and wonder, right? Awe and wonder came before them. And what does the devil try to do to us? And what is he doing? He's known as the great deceiver, right? That's his greatest weapon. He deceives us. And so what are we seeing right now in the world? We see family and friends that have been deceived. They manipulate truth and spin it into a complete untruth. You know, my body, my choice, women's health care, for love is love. And all of a sudden you're going, oh, I guess, you know, if you put it that way, he's the deceiver. He's the deceiver. And now it was for a time that okay, there is no absolute truth anymore. You have your truth and I have my truth, right? That's called moral relativism. And again, the great deceiver loves that. But what's going on right now? I have my truth, they say. You can't have your truth. That's what's going on. See, the rage and the level of attack that's going on with the devil unabated. Because those who should speak up aren't. Instead, what they're doing is telling all those who are trying to speak up to sit down and shut up. We don't want to stir up the devil. We don't want to make the devil mad. Now, there's an element of wisdom in that because of this bombing attack thing. Maybe there is a period of time that we just need to pull back, okay, let them spew a little while, and then we find our time. That could very well be what's going on right now. But my brothers and sisters, our time is coming, and it's coming fast. I believe that we're in a period of time where we need to be still and listen right now. We need to listen. And what do you do? Again, we're using the war images. What do they do when they pull back? They reassess their strategy. And one of the things they do is what's called recon or reconnaissance. I got to know my enemy in order to know how to defeat him. And so you might remember that this summer we did something like that with Father Peckman, Father Altman, and myself. Father Peckman gave me this idea on July 2nd. We started on July 7th. And we had over 75,000 people that wanted to do this because they knew this is exactly what we needed to do. It's over 75,000 people that what did we do? For 40 days, we took each day another way in which the devil is deceiving us, okay, is one-upping us. And we looked at it, and it was reconnaissance. Here's what he's doing, okay? And the priest laid out, and here's how we can counterattack, or we can develop virtues in our lives to stand against each of these 40 ways in which the devil is trying to succeed, and he is in a lot of ways. I mean, again, look at our our brothers and sisters. So we're going to do that again in Lent, all right? We test drove it this summer, but Lent is going to be very powerful. We're going to take this time again. We're going to really study the enemy, okay, and get a good idea and to know what our best counter move is. One of them is going to be able to speak truth to power. We're going to have to do that at some point. Remember the Feast of the Presentation, right? They brought the baby Jesus, and what did Simeon say? He will be a sign of contradiction. Okay, what does that mean? Contradiction. A sign that will be spoken against. We don't like that, do we? We don't like being spoken against. We see everyone right now that has ever spoken up, especially in this critical year we just passed through, that allowed evil to enter in, like it's in control now. Devil's in control. Now we got to reassess and know what we can do because of that. But anybody who did speak up, they were spoken against, primarily from the radical secularists. And oh boy, did they look to brutalize them, persecute them, right? He will be a sign that will be spoken against. And they will see him as such a threat that they need to give him one of the worst tortures known ever to mankind, nailing his hands and feet to a cross, letting him slowly pass away, asphyxiation. It's brutal. Okay, we need to take him out. He threatens us. We need to cancel him. Okay, I'm just using the modern language now. We're called the cancel culture. Don't you dare say anything. I mean, my family, you know, they have a company, and they advertise certain things, so religious goods. This is a little side story. My brother put up an ad for this beautiful scapular medal that has all the pro-life saints on it. Facebook took it down. You can't even do that now. We're being silenced. We're being censored. I think you might know that Facebook put me in jail. I'm in day 11 or whatever it is of 30 days because I shared a LifeSite news article. Does it? It's brutal right now, my brothers and sisters, okay? And especially brutal for anybody who is a sign of contradiction, a sign that will be spoken against. But we have to ask ourselves, all right? Can we sit by? Somebody showed me a video clip of a movie. I'm going to watch the whole thing. And I wish I could remember the movie. Oh, I know it. Sing a Little Louder is the name of the movie. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. But they showed me the trailer of it. It's stirring. It shows people in church in Germany, Catholics. There's the priest. And right behind them is the railroad tracks, maybe 100 feet away. And it says in there that every day at noon, while they're in church, the train comes by. And what's on the train? Jews that are being brought to the concentration camp. And it slows down a little bit in this one trailer that they show, and they hear the cries of the Jews in these train cars. And what does the priest do? He starts talking a little louder to drown it out. He actually comes down from the pulpit to speak a little louder so they don't have to hear it. Then they start the song, and they can still hear it. Everybody's disturbed. They're crying out behind us. And they go, we need to sing even louder. We need to sing it even louder so we didn't hear the cries of these Jews being sent to a concentration camp to be brutally murdered. Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? Singing a little louder. So we don't have to hear the cries of the babies. We have to be strategic. And we're going to make people mad. We're going to be a sign that will be spoken against. We can't condemn anybody. That's the other thing what we're calling for. Here, I'm going to share with you what Archbishop Naumann, in his homily at the vigil before the March for Life, he said this: we must pray and fast that the president will cease attempting to confuse people about Catholic teaching by trampling on the sanctity of human life while presenting himself as a devout Catholic. Moments later, our own Bishop Hying tweeted, within 8 days of taking office, President Biden has pledged to codify Roe v. Wade and has rescinded the Mexico City policy. We pray for a deep conversion within his heart to build a culture of life and respect the child in the womb. The horror of this evil, but let's pray with belief. And of course, we've been seeing incredible conversion stories with the green scapular. Okay, so you know what I'm doing? I'm developing a prayer card. It has a little picture of the green scapular on both sides. And the prayer is the prayer of the green scapular. I'm going to ask us, let's pray for the president's conversion. We're going to be doing that as we go through our Lent. I'm excited. Here's the book. I got this like 4 days ago. This is one of the first copy of the book, Let Freedom Ring. What are we doing? Okay? We need to know our enemy. We need to pray for their conversion. We need to admonish them when necessary. We need to help our people understand the great deceiver is manipulating truth. My body, my choice, love is love, and so on. Okay? We need to help them understand what is really true, and to help us to understand, too, one of the ways God has given us, fasting, as Archbishop Naumann says, mortifications, special prayers that have been demonstrated to work in our church. This is just one. Of course, the rosary. All those. We can't just sit by and sing louder so we don't hear the screams of those little preborn babies. 1.7 billion under our watch. And a regime just entered that wants to ramp it up, this Holocaust of our day. I don't know about you, but I'm not just going to sing. I'm going to speak. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe.